The Lord has nudged our hearts and preaching in a series on Bible fires. Bible fires. Brother Gerald and I went to Weedawa this week, and I thought about something when he come out of the house. The carpenters had a big fire burning. He walked by and he said, "Ooh, that fire feels good." Well, you never really know how cold you are till you get by the fire. We talked about the book of Exodus on the witness of the fire, how God talked to Moses through that burning bush. God has shown us in the Word that if we don't want to be consumed, then get full of the Word. The reason a lot of people, they so-called have burnout, they don't get filled with the fire of God. Certainly that bush was not consumed. It's what got Moses' attention. This morning, if you're tired of church, then you need to get filled with fire. You're tired of praying, tired of preaching, tired of praising, get filled with fire. We've seen in the book of Exodus the witness of the fire. Then Jeremiah, we've seen the word of fire. Oh, he said, "I just can't contain it. It's in my bones. I can't hold back. Got to tell you about it." I love it when it gets like that. This morning, Brother Donald done the holy dank. I like that. Amen. Fire in your heart. Said, "Oh, you got to let it out." And so we've seen Jeremiah, the word of fire. And in the book of 2 Samuel, we've seen the work of fire when, oh, the fields, the barley fields was set on fire. And God will set a fire a lot of things in our lives to get our attention. That is the work of the fire. Then the book of Leviticus, we've seen where the fire was to never go out. We talked about the watching of the fire on the altar, and it would do us good this morning to never let that fire go out. It'll do to watch. Stir it. Put another log on the fire every now and then. Be sure don't let the fire go out in your life, and that's the watching of the fire. Then last week, we got a few empty seats this morning. We spoke on wildfire. Oh, how people love to name it and claim it and feel good and do it. God is a God of order in the Bible, and He's not the author of confusion. And so certainly the Word of God irons out that there is some wildfire going on in our churches in the day that we live. But this morning, if you'd stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, it's found in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. I'd like to start reading verse number 10. The Bible said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved or melted, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or behavior and godliness? Are looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire," there's that little word, "shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." You may be seated this morning. And I want to preach on this thought out of verse number 12. He said, "Looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved." I want to preach this morning on the wrath of fire. The wrath of fire. God has chosen fire to punish this old world. He told Noah, He said, "Now Noah, I'm going to give you the blueprints to build you an ark." The book of Genesis, we've seen the ark described and how God told Noah to build. He said, "Noah, this ark will prove to be seaworthy. If you just build it, get your family in it, you'll be all right." Noah did, and 8 people were saved in that ark. How many lived in the day and hour that he lived that were drowned, I do not know. But God said He would never again destroy this world by water. But now He will destroy it by fire. And 3 things this morning I'd like to share with you about the wrath of fire. First of all, in Malachi chapter number 4 and verse 1, notice the world on fire. The world on fire. Malachi chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the world on fire. Notice he said, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." And here with the world on fire, I want you to notice, first of all, it is reserved for fire. It is reserved for fire. This old world's got a reservation. It's going to burn up. For he said, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall." The world on fire. First of all, you'll notice that this world is reserved for fire. Then secondly, you'll notice that in our text of 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll notice the world ruined by fire. Everything that you and I can reach, touch, feel, and see is going to burn up one of these days. Boy, isn't it amazing that a building this beautiful is going to burn to ashes? Isn't it amazing that some of the homes that we get to see and get a glimpse of, that one of these days they're going to burn to ashes? Isn't it amazing that the works that men labor all of their lifetime for is going to burn up in ashes? Isn't it amazing that the who's who in the Kiwanis Club, isn't it amazing that the who's who in this world society, all of them little certificates and papers, they're going to burn up and turn to ashes one of these mornings? All the gold that's in every cave and every store, every piece of gold in this country that men are laboring to reach out and get for, it's going to melt and run down. It's all going to be burned by fire. The world on fire. We see it's reserved for fire. We know it's to be ruined by fire. But then thirdly, this old world will be renovated by fire. The Bible said in Revelation 21, look what John saw. In Revelation chapter number 21, and they're reading in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John," here's the key word, "saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about it's going to be renovated by fire. Yeah, you see, God's got to have a new heaven and a new earth, because wickedness has went on in both places. What are you talking about? Well, listen, look, while we've got to have a new heaven. The Bible said in the book of Job, chapter number 2, book of Job, chapter number 2, there you'll find the reading says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." There we see that Satan has the access of heaven. What are you talking about? Well, the Bible says that he goes there and he stands in the presence of God and he accuses the brethren. He accuses you and I. When he sees you and I make a mistake or say something bad, then he will always come before the throne of God and say, "Now, what about that preacher down there? Now, he says he's saved. Would he really have done that? And what about that choir member? Now, they say, would they really have done that?" And I love what the Lord Jesus says, "Lay under the blood." I'm glad this morning that here that he may have the access to heaven. He don't have access to the throne, honey. God is still a sitting on the throne in the day you and I live. But we see this world's going to be renovated by fire. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Why we've got to have a new earth? Because this place is filled with wickedness. Oh, in the garden, when you remember now the reason that the devil got thrown out of heaven, he was the anointed cherub. He was one of the highest in the rankings of the angelic host in heaven. And I tell you what was the problem with the devil? That's the problem with a lot of Baptists this morning, is pride. He said, I will be lifted up above the stars of heaven. He said, I will sit on the throne of God, and I'll rule and reign things. And God said, no, you won't. I'll just cast you out. So when he cast him out, the Bible said a third of that angelic host fell from heaven, and he followed Lucifer. And now those are the little demons that are giving you and I a lot of problems. Me and you never had a confrontation with the devil. We're not doing enough for the devil to get mad at us. I want to let you in on that. The devil made me do it. You never seen the devil, honey. Oh, the devil impressed me. No, you didn't. His little demons did, and they'll run you crazy. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you really go to walking with God, you'll find out what demons are. They're real. They're here to torment you. And so certainly we see that the fire's going to renovate heaven and this earth, as now when the devil got kicked out of heaven, guess where he went? He went into the garden. The devil loves gardens. He loves the garden of the church, the garden of the home, the garden of your job, the garden of your life. Oh, the devil loves things that are precious to you in the garden. And he'll come in and he'll mess it up. Let me tell you, the devil is your enemy this morning. God said, I'm tell you what, I'm going to renovate earth. And I'm going to wipe out the tracks of the devil. Isn't that a blessing? He's going to burn out his tracks. I'm glad of that. So certainly we see that the world's on fire. The Bible said it's going to burn as an oven. And there the Apostle John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down from the glory of God. The wrath of fire. Wrath of fire. We see, firstly, the world on fire. This place is going to burn up. You know, isn't it amazing that Abraham, the father of our faith, he had the right idea, for he said he was a pilgrim and a stranger on a journey. He was not looking for foundations down here, but he was looking for a city. Be careful. Don't you drive them tent stakes down too deep here because it's going to burn up. May I instruct you and encourage you this morning to lay up above some treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doeth get in and corrupt, or where thieves cannot break through and steal. I'm telling you, everything that me and you can see this morning is going to burn up. Even these old bodies. Y'all got up this morning trying to make them look so much better. They're going to burn up. That new car that you're working your fingers to the bone to get, guess what? It's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Did you know you've never, ever seen a U-Haul hooked behind a coffin? Never. It's all going to burn up. We're going to leave it behind. World on fire. People working. They building and building. They adoring and worshiping and idolizing just like they're going to be here forever. But this world's going to burn up. And I think you and I cannot even fathom that this morning. They would all be in the altar with their heads buried in these steps this morning. But I'm telling you, the wrath of fire, the world on fire. But then secondly, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, I want you to notice the wicked one on fire. And we're talking about the wrath of fire this morning. God has chosen fire to describe His wrath. The world on fire. But then secondly, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, you'll see the wicked one on fire. The Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, what's going on? Well, 7 years of tribulation has happened now. The church has been taken out of this old world. 7 years of tribulation has happened. Hard times, nothing like this country's ever seen. But now it's happened. It's winding now. The end of time is fixing to come. The Lord says to come and set up His millennial kingdom. And here He says, the devil that deceived them. I want you to look there and I want you to highlight that word. This one I want you to notice, first of all, he's a tricking devil. Tricking devil. He's a big trickster. Hey, young people, he'll show you the nice billboards with the Busch beer and the Budweiser beer and the Coors beer, but he won't show you the backside of that when you're in a wheelchair the rest of your life or your mom and daddy down in a graveyard weeping over your body. He won't show you the backside. He's a tricking devil. Young men, he'll show you a pretty woman, but he won't show you your house tore up. Young ladies, he'll show you that good-looking guy that'll listen and bend his ear your way, but he won't show you your home tore up, you little young and scattered all over creation. I'm telling you, he is a tricking devil. Boy, how he loves to divide churches and homes. That's his job. He'll tell you, preacher don't like you. He'll tell you, your brothers and sisters don't like you. He'll tell you, you're no good. You're worthless. What you ought to do is say, I know that, but by the blood of Jesus, I'm everything. Can I get a witness this morning? I'm telling you, he is a tricking devil. But then secondly, in verse number 10, you'll notice he got caught up with. He's a track down devil. God will catch him. He ain't a running from God. God knows right where he's at. By the way, he's really tied on a string by his foot. He really can't go as far as he wants to go. He's a track devil. God knows exactly where he is. I'm sure glad that God's got him tied. What are you talking about? Because he had done cut my throat years ago. Some of you want to, but he would have. Oh, I'm telling you what. I'm glad there is a higher power than the devil this morning. Oh, he's a tricking devil. He's a track devil. I love this in verse 10. He's a toasted devil. The Bible said, and cast him into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's a tormented devil. He's going to where Hitler's at. He's a tormented devil forever and ever and ever. All time. Ever and ever and ever. I thought I never would get out of high school. I thought I would never graduate. I honestly thought they would never come. It seemed like yesterday. Forever and ever is a long time. Tormenting devil. The world on fire, the wicked one on fire. Let me tell you something. He knows what this Bible says. He knows his days are numbered. And he's trying to do all he can. Let me tell you, he's doing a pretty good job. If we were as busy as the devil, we would get something accomplished. He's busy. He don't sleep. He don't sleep. He bothers me in my sleep. You get up and go get a drink of wine and say, oh no, I woke up. Any of you ever been there? I'm talking about tormented by the devil. This morning, the wrath of fire. We see the world on fire, the wicked one on fire. But I'm going to close with this thought this morning. Leave this that you can go home with. The wretched ones on the fire. You'll find that in the same text. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. There's no Christians here now. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I remember one night in my study, I never heard, I've still got it circled. But then I seen that place at Nephilim them, and I wept. That's the highest verse in the whole Bible. No place for them. Who? The lost. I was a wretch. But now I've been saved. I was blind, but now I see. The wretched on fire. The Bible said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now listen to me, the wretched on fire. First of all, there is a place worse than hell. The lake of fire. Right now, you die without Jesus, you'll go to hell in your sins. And you'll hold there in a holding room of hell until God brings you up and judges you at this white throne judgment to utterly cast you into the lake of fire. That's Bible. The wretched on fire. First of all, there's four things I want you to look at in the reading of this text that is awful. I mean, it is awful. First of all, I want you to notice the identity of the judge. The identity of the judge in verse number 11. Here in God's courtroom, He will be judge. He said, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it. That's God sitting as judge. The identity of a judge. There's a terrible fact. There's a terrible figure. Can you imagine the one sitting there in the courtroom with the nail-scarred hands, the pierced side, the pierced feet? He sits there as judge. And in the courtroom of God it's set up. Can you imagine? As the judge sits and they lead them one by one down the aisle to stand before God. They will not be judged as groups. They'll be judged as single human beings that have a soul. They will be judged personally. They come down to stand before God the judge. Not only the identity of the judge, and it's awful, but secondly, in verse number 12, notice this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I'll tell you another sad reason. The inexistence of an advocate. Jesus Christ is our advocate. The Bible said in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, and I'll read there. I want you to stay where you are. The book of 1 John, chapter number 2, He said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What does the word advocate mean? It means one who is called along the side to plead our case. But here they'll stand in the courtroom with God without an advocate. Without the Lord Jesus by their side. Aren't you glad for us that are saved? He says, I'll stick closer than a brother. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ is my advocate. He sits on the right-hand side of the Father. It is no priest. It is no man. But it is Jesus Christ who is our advocate this morning. Oh, it's four terrible things here, the wretched on fire. First, the identity of the judge. Secondly, the inexistence of the advocate. But then thirdly, the information of the verdict. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a book. There is a Lamb's book. We that are saved are written in the Lamb's book. But here is the lifeless book. Here are those that have rejected God and said, I'll go on my own merits, my own favors, my own works. They're written in the book and God pulls the book. The information of the verdict written in the book. Then notice verse 15, the infliction of the sentence. The Bible said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The infliction of the sentence. Now I want to hook two chapters together. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in your Bible. But in verse number 12 there, Revelation 20, John said, and I saw the dead, small and great. What are you talking about? Oh, he's not talking about those that have just died. He's talking about those that's never been made spiritually alive by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit quickens the soul of man, makes him alive to the things of God. People that stand up and testify and cry and shout, people that's lost and have not the Spirit of God, they don't even know what they're talking about. They can't even relate to what they're doing. Why? Because they're dead people. The Bible said we was all born in death, trespasses, and sins. We were all dead to the things of God. That's why He took the Holy Spirit to come, move in our heart, and make us alive to the things of God. Now, those that die without Christ, they're called the dead. The dead. Now, I want to hook these two chapters. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I want you to look. The Bible said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." The Bible said in verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it." But now I want you to turn over here to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Now here the rich man, by the way, this is not a parable. This is actuality. For here we find out Lazarus' name was mentioned. Parables in your Bible, there was never a name given. He's on a first name basis, Lazarus. Lazarus dies now. And here the old rich man dies, and the rich man dies, and he goes to hell. And the rich man can look across that gulf, and he can see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And so the Bible said that in verse 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments," that word's torture, "and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And so he said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so you cannot pass." Verse 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wast sitting in my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they've Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Now verse 30, where we'll tie this together. "And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them," there it is, "from the dead, they will repent." What are you talking about? I'm talking about here when God judges the dead, there'll be no appeals that day. Now we say this in our society, when he's found guilty and they pronounce a life sentence on him and send him to jail, they say, well, that's fine, but he will appeal it. There will be no appeals that day. I'm telling you, the severity of that sentence is forever. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the day that when God judges the dead. Let me tell you what's going to be in that book. Do you see in the reading I just read to you in Luke chapter 16 that he said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and Lazarus the bad, but now he's got the good things. There's a memory in hell. When God writes you in the book of the dead or the book of the damned, you'll stand before God, He'll open that book, and He'll say, okay, that young preacher at Liberty Baptist Church, he preached his heart to you. I sent the Holy Ghost to deal with you, and you would not accept my son. He may tell you, I sent a gospel tract to you, and you read about the way to get to heaven, and you laughed. Could you imagine the people that's in hell this morning, if they could come back and just let me sit down and let them preach you a message? Could you imagine that? He said, but I'm going to tell you something, Abraham. If one come from the dead, if one come from the dead and told my five brethren what it was, they'd turn, repent of their sin. Let me tell you something, sir. Do you think you're going to go on through eternity without Jesus and go to heaven? You'll not do that. Do you not realize that He sent His best gift that He had and died on an old rugged cross to keep you, sir, out of hell? Ma'am, do you realize that it's no accident that you hear this morning that God has sent you message after message and you'll turn down the only key to get into heaven's door, and that's Jesus Christ? He said, I tell you what, if He had come from the dead, you'll believe. Said it's four things that's terrible about the verse that I just read. It's the wretched on fire, the identity of the judge. You'll not tip him and pay him off that day. the existence of an advocate. The Lord Jesus will not be there by your side that day, pleading your case. Now when the devil comes in the throne room of God and says, what about Ken Bowman? What about him? Jesus pleads my case and says, you leave him alone. He's under the blood. What an awful place to go and stand in the courtroom of God before God in His holiness, and you and your rags of your works and your self-righteousness and your wickedness of your heart, and not have the Lord Jesus stand by you. The identity of the judge, the inexistence of the advocate, the information of the verdict, the infliction of the sentence. I've used this illustration since I've been pastor here, if you have come with a song. And I guess it's probably one of the best I've ever heard, ever been told, or ever read. And I've read lots and lots of illustrations about hell. Brother Ricky Dunsford to be here preaching in a few weeks, a missionary from Rock of Ages. He said that as a preacher team one morning, they went out in the Mississippi State pen. The way these preachers do, they go up to the pen, they get in, they go all through that jail cell, but they cannot go into that cell without you give them permission to come in. That's their space. You cannot go into their territory unless you have their permission from the inmate. Brother Ricky said that they walked up to the door. Sir, can we come in and present the gospel to you? And they cussed them. Said, we don't want nothing you got. Said, you take that Bible and that Jesus you got and you get out of my space. He said, preacher, I don't know how many jail cells I went by and they looked at me and laughed. Some spit, some cussed. But he said, I come to a cell. There was a man on the bed. Behind his bed, he'd got a stencil of chalk. He said, preacher, I noticed there was marks on his wall and they would be X'd out. He'd go over and he'd make more marks and he'd X. He said, sir, can I come in and share the gospel? He said, I'd love for you to come. He said, as I sat there on his bed, I looked at the marks. He said, I just had to ask him. Brother Ken, he said, I want to ask you, what's them marks on the wall behind your bed? He said, preacher. He said, the judge gave me 20-something years for my sentence. He said, every year I've sat here, when the calendar had flipped, I put a chalk mark on that wall as a year. He said, there's 5. It's marked out. There's 10. There's 15. There's 20, and it's X'd out. He said, there's 1. He said, preacher, I like one more mark. I'm going to mark my way out of here. He said, Brother Ken, those that die and go to hell, you'll mark for all eternity. You'll never reach the day that God will walk up and unlock the door to let you out of that terrible place. Hell's real. We talk about people taking chances. I've often thought that men that would tie a cable from one building to the next, take a pole and try to walk that line. I've sat there a lot of times and I've thought, how crazy. They'd have a net under them, but you know something? That's not near as crazy and ridiculous as a man, woman, boy, or girl thinks that they're going to die out of this life without Jesus. Go to heaven and live for eternity. Hell's a real place. Sir, I want to ask you this morning,
you really been saved?
I'm not talking about if you join the church. I'm not talking about if you're a good fella. I wonder if there's ever been a time that the Holy Spirit's convicted you. You came to Him as a lost man. Asked Him to save you. Ma'am, I want to ask you. You really think you're going to get out of this life and go to heaven without Jesus? This world's going to burn up one of these mornings. Jesus is coming. He says, "A thief in the night." You know when that is? A time unexpected. This morning, are you saved? You can be. He's God inside your heart this morning. Maybe used to, days gone by, He'd really deal with you. Maybe this morning you just feel a little tug. Brother Jason, I was sitting back where you was. Son, honest to goodness, I thought my heart would beat out of my chest and come out on that floor. When I stepped out and asked God to save me, I was just like little Mara. Went and got in my bed that night, pillowed my head with peace. This morning, you troubled in your heart, and I'd come. And in my own feeble way, I'd ask Jesus to save me. And He will. He will. You don't have to die and go to hell. But I'm going to tell you, if you die and go to hell this morning, you're going to remember this message God sent to you. You're going to remember it. Because He's got it wrote down. He's going to bring it back to your memory. Jesus said, "Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Would you come this morning and trust Jesus? What about you, Mom and Daddy? Is your house safe?